You're welcome to church. I'm happy to see you. Don't someone give them a smile. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3. It makes us understand. He said, Paul was praying. He said that you may know the love of Christ. The length and the breadth and the depth and the height. He said this love of Christ, it surpasses knowledge. I know if you read, you may not understand. What he's saying is that any other thing you can experience in your life, that's not the deepest experience. The deepest experience you can have in your life is to know the love of Christ. It's the depth. It says it's the fullness of power. It's the fullness of God. As I enter into the love of God and that love consumes me, I'm changed. I'm changed. I see life things differently. I see things differently. When I enter into that love, what comes out is power. Hallelujah. When the love of Christ dominates me, power flows. Hallelujah. Because there's nothing blocking it. Hallelujah. It's the deepest experience. Amen. It's a deeper experience than a roller coaster. It's a deeper experience than getting married. Of course, as a young man, before you get married, you think marriage is the greatest experience. But when you're married, when you're married for quite some years, you know that it's not necessarily what? The greatest. It's one of the experiences. Amen? But to know the love of Christ, the length, the depth, the breadth, the height, and to enter into it and be consumed by it is the greatest experience. You are changed. You are transformed. You are no longer yourself. He said, the life I now live is no longer mine. I'm living for Him. And it's, when you live for Him, His life flows through you. Power flows through you. People don't understand you because you are not on their frequency. You are on a higher frequency. Hallelujah. Yeah, say when men are cast down, you will declare that there's a lifting up. Even when there's no reason to do so, it's the power that flows in you, motivated by the love. Hallelujah. That's the greatest depth. Even your faith is nothing without love. If I have faith that can remove mountains and I don't have love, what am I? I'm a noisy gong. Hallelujah. That Bible says faith works by love. Hallelujah. When the foundation is love, faith will work. Some of the reasons why your faith is not working is that it's not founded in love. Hallelujah. The selfless, overflowing love of God. Hallelujah. That's the full man. That's the mature man. When we talk about maturity, you will get mature in love. And power will flow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you enter into the depth of the Spirit and you are full of the Spirit of God, joy will flow, irrespective of what is happening outside. Hallelujah. When you enter into the depth of the Spirit, peace will guard your heart, irrespective of what's happening outside. You know why? Because those things that are happening can change. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus was sleeping in the boat. He was sleeping in the boat. And there was a storm. He knew there was a storm. As a human. How much can you sleep in the midst of a storm that was about to capsize your boat? But he chose to sleep. Hallelujah. He chose to sleep. He chose not to lose his peace. Tell me, why would someone choose to sleep when they know there's a storm? Because they know they can change it. Hallelujah. He knows. The power that resides, he knows. This one is small. Hallelujah. Then they called him and said, oh, master, don't you care that we perish? They were not actually calling him to stop the storm. They didn't believe he could stop the storm. If you read the story, he said they were amazed. When he stopped the storm, they said they were amazed. Isn't it? So all they were calling him for is to join his hands physically to help. Hallelujah. He said, you are sleeping. We are walking out to save this boat. Put your hand. Hallelujah. But he arose and he rebuked. So you see, what your physical ability can do, what your mental ability can do, is limited. Hallelujah. But what the ability of the Holy Spirit in you, a mere man, can do is unlimited. Hallelujah. It's unlimited. Hallelujah. It's what? Unlimited. See, so I need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you read your Bible, it will amaze you that Jesus, the Son of God, He did not do any miracle until they were 30. It's not in your Bible. If you can show me one, I'll give you £100. Why? But when he was 30, he went and he was baptized by John. Just say, oh, why should we do this? I don't need to say, let us do it to fulfill all righteousness. So the water baptism is to do what? Water baptism is for what purpose? To fulfill all righteousness. Hallelujah. But the righteousness he needed to fulfill was this. Once he did it, the Holy Spirit, his water baptism was the act of obedience that enabled the Holy Spirit to come upon him like what? Like a dove. From that day on, he was a different person. Do you know the first miracle Jesus did? What? I don't know that in mind. That's not the first miracle. Anybody know the first miracle Jesus did? Hallelujah. Let me tell you the first miracle Jesus did. The Bible says, afterwards, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And how long was he there? And 49. He fasted. Without food. And probably without water. Because how will you get water in the wilderness? That was a miracle. You can't do it as a human being. You can't fast 40 days and 40 nights without water. You will die. Hello? Hello? As a human being, you can't go without water for 40 days. Any doctors in the house? Do you agree? Some people can never go without water for 3 days. Hallelujah. He was filled with the Spirit. He went in the power of the Spirit into the wilderness. And he survived for 40 days and 40 nights without food. And most likely without what? Water. Because how will he get water in the wilderness? It was a supernatural thing. It was just like Moses too when he was on the mountain. You can't do it in your physical ability. He was in the presence of God. Hallelujah. The presence of God encompassed him. And he went without food and water for 40 days. That's a miracle. Do you know that's a miracle? Miracle is not only when you turn stone to bread. Miracle is anytime you walk in the supernatural. Hallelujah. Anytime you can get something done beyond your physical ability that it can only take God. That is what? A miracle. And the gateway into the miraculous is to be filled. To be what? So you say, I desire to be full of the Holy Spirit. There was a man in the Bible called Stephen. This Stephen, he was called as a deacon. You know, indeed, today these deacons are very glorified. Yeah, he said, I'm deaconess. So. It's a title now. Stephen, you know the job of a deacon? You know the kitchen team? They are all what? Deacons. They were called to serve the tables. Amen? They were called to do what? Serve the tables in church. The apostles, the church, they said, we cannot be serving tables. We should give ourselves to the word of God and prayer. So they chose, you know, deacons. Amen? Stephen was a deacon called to serve tables. But Bible said Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. Hallelujah. And he walked outstanding things. Philip too was a deacon. But the Spirit carried him. Whoop! Yeah? You remember the Spirit led him to meet the Ethiopian eunuch? And when they finished, got him baptized, the Spirit carried him. He physically disappeared to another location. It's available to every believer. Praise the Lord. Let's start from Matthew. I want to show you something. Mark. Mark 16, the last chapter. I want to show you something that the Holy Spirit showed me yesterday. I've never seen it like that before. He said there's no limit to revelation. If you are still living on the revelation you caught 10 years ago, you are still. You are very what? Still. God is living. Today we're singing, he said, you are the living word. It's not just the word. It's what? The living word. That's why revelation is something you need to live in day after day. The revelation you caught yesterday may not be sufficient for the need you have today. Hallelujah. Mark 16. Are you there, Mark 16? Someone read for me verse 14 to verse 18. Someone has not read today. Someone has not spoken today. Mark 16, 14 to 18. Please follow in your Bible.
Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart.
He rebuked them.
Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen.
Just pause. I want to stay there. It's an information I missed before. And I actually didn't put that verse. The Holy Spirit showed me and I put it. He saw them. He rebuked them for their unbelief. Now, these were the apostles. Huh? He rebuked them for their unbelief and what? Hardness of heart. So it shows that the first thing that will stop you from being full of the Spirit is what? It's unbelief. Let me give an example of unbelief. Say, I don't believe in speaking in tongues. You will never. You will just shortchange yourself from that power that could have flowed. You have the moment you say, I don't, you've capped yourself. You cannot go beyond a level in your spiritual life. Never. You are there. You will still go to heaven if you believe in Jesus, but you will never enter greater power. It's like somebody saying, you know, that, you know, I just want to stay, you know, motorcycles came before the car. Am I right? Yeah. There was a time that it was very trendy for everybody to have motorcycles. Yeah, before they invented car. So when the car came, say, no, I don't believe in cars. I'm okay with my motorcycle. You have limited yourself. Hallelujah. Or when cars came, say, oh, an aeroplane came. Say, no. How can you? Is it possible to go in the sky and not fall down? I would rather just drive. Hallelujah. So now you need to travel to Canada. Hallelujah. You just want to leg it. You know, there was a time that it was only legging. Yeah? You just, anywhere you're going, you have to go on foot. Huh? So now, you know, it's a radical change when you're going on foot and suddenly something is moving you. You feel awkward at first, the very first time. Hallelujah. But if you stay on the lower level, you will never enter the higher level. And it's not God's fault. He has provided it. So you need to believe. Say, I believe. I'm ready for everything that God has for me. Now, let me tell you something. Sometimes you may think, oh, maybe it's the devil at work. Let me tell you. Remember what I told you? How do you deal with the devil? Who is a good student? How do you deal with the devil? I need that phrase. Resist? Yes, another one I taught you. How you deal with the devil? Jesus, when he was tempted, what did he say? It is written. It is what? So if you can find it in the word of God, and he says it belongs to believers, then it belongs to you. I don't need to start thinking maybe it's of the devil. And listen to that again. If God has promised me something as a believer in the word of God, it is unbelief for me to think it's of the devil. Does it make sense? If it's in the word, please, but continue.
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world.
He said to them, go to all the world.
And preach the gospel to every creature.
Continue.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Yes.
For he that believeth
not.
He that believeth not shall be damned.
Shall be damned.
And these signs shall follow them that believe.
These are the signs.
In my name shall they cast.
These are the signs. Someone say, these are the signs. These are the signs. That will follow those who believe. Say that. Now, before we go into them, this is it. People receive on different levels. Some people, if you tell them to come and receive, you know the communion cup? You know that communion cup we use, yeah? That's what they will bring. Say, God, if I just feed this one, I will manage it for 1 week. Yeah? Some people will come with the coffee mug. Some will come with buckets. Some will come with a drum. Hallelujah. It's according to your faith. It's according to what? If he said, these signs belong to those who receive, then it belongs to me. Every one of them. Imagine you went for a job interview. Huh? And they offered you 60,000. Not Naira. 60,000 pounds. I said, I'm not paying. I said, no. I'm okay with 10,000. Because my needs are not very much right now. Okay, I don't have a daughter yet. You know, and my husband is very conservative. So I'm okay with 10,000. Hallelujah. What do you call that? Foolishness. Praise the Lord. Everything that God said belongs to me, I embrace it. All. I'm not going to leave anything out. I don't know about you. All. Hallelujah. All. Please tell me the signs that belongs to me. Continue. Okay.
In my name, they shall cast out devils.
That means that before Jesus came, yeah, devils were not being cast out. They were just being managed. Just like devils are being managed in this country now because of their unbelief. They're managing them. They're pampering them. Huh? Hallelujah. Pampering them with medication and social care. I'm not saying all cases are devils, but they are devils. Amen? Amen? Or not all cases of misbehaviors are devils, but there are cases of misbehavior that are what? Devil. There are some people troubling your life that is the devil in them. But it's not all. But at least you should assume at least 50%. Because if casting out of devil was not that important, Jesus would not call it even the first thing you need to do. Did we see Jesus cast out a devil from a believer? It's not in their spirit. Remember, don't misunderstand me. As a believer, the devil cannot be in your spirit. You know why? The Holy Spirit is where? Hallelujah. So he says, the devil cannot live inside my spirit. I cannot be possessed by a devil. Because I'm already possessed. Willingly and voluntarily. By the Holy Spirit. Did I say to that? But you can be influenced by the devil. You can what? Influence. Just like you can be influenced by God. Just like you can be influenced by alcohol. Huh? You can be influenced by what? The devil. Do you get it? Let me give you an example of how. Remember Peter? When Jesus was going to the cross, then Peter took him and started rebuking him. Remember, Peter said, oh no Lord, you cannot go. He started what? Rebuke. You know the meaning of rebuke. He said what? Rebuking Jesus. If Peter just said, oh, Jesus, you know, we love you so much. You try to postpone it. No, you know, it's different. That's flesh. But Peter took him. You don't understand. Peter was older than Jesus in age. Do you know? Do you know that Peter was older than Jesus in age? Do some research. So Peter took him aside and started rebuking him. You know how people rebuke in your mother tongue? Say, your head is not what? Correct. Your head is correct in Jesus' name. Huh? You're not, something's wrong with you today. It was a devil that was influencing Peter. Jesus cast out that devil. He said, get behind me, Satan. You know what happened if Jesus did not cast that devil? That devil will hinder Jesus. You know, Jesus was already struggling in the garden, whether to go or not to go. Huh? Imagine the devil adding his voice. You know, the Bible said the devil left him for a season. Not forever. Praise the Lord. We need to cast out devils because they seek to influence us in our daily lives. They seek to. There are some things you are doing, you don't even know what you are doing. Let me tell you something. In your head, you know what you are doing. But in your actions, you don't know what you are doing. Please understand me. In your head, everything is okay. But in your actions, someone who is saying, those actions, say something is seriously wrong. It's the work of an enemy. Hallelujah. And you need to rebuke the devil and cast him out from influencing you. Please continue. That's one sign. That means that as a believer, a powerful believer, one of the things I will need to continually do all through my lifetime is what? Rebuke the devil and get him out of my way. That's casting out devils. Please continue. So just think about casting out devils, but you know, removing devil for someone who demon possessed. Yeah? That's the case, absolutely. But the one you deal with mostly is even in your own life or in your own home. There are some people in your life that are giving you trouble. Yeah? Some is the flesh, but some is the devil. Walking through them. And until you start rebuking the devil,
they will not cease. Anything that has a pattern, suspect the devil. If it has what? A pattern. And that pattern is repeating. You are licensed to suspect who? The devil. And the Bible says that the sign that will follow you is that you can cast out the devil and say, be gone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, that belongs to me.
That belongs to me.
Now. It's not in future. It's now that you need it. You don't need it in heaven. You don't need to cast out any devil in heaven. Do you know why, Samuel? You don't need to cast out any devil in heaven. Do you know why? They're not there. Please continue.
They shall speak with new tongues.
They shall speak with... Did I hear you right?
Yeah.
Please say it again.
They shall speak with new tongues.
They shall speak with new tongues. Hello? Speaking in tongues belongs to me. I don't know about you. You can stay on the level of 10,000K. Well, I'm riding to 100,000. Hallelujah. If you have 100,000 in the right of a righteous man, he will use it to do righteousness, not selfishness. Amen? 100,000 in the hands of a truly righteous man. That 100,000 will be used for what? Righteousness, not wickedness. Are you with me? He said they shall speak with new tongues. Who said it? Who was listening? At least the heaven 11 were listening. That's why I told you that before the day of Pentecost, they were expecting to speak with what? Because he told them that they will do what? Speak with new tongues. In fact, not everything Jesus told the disciples is written. John said it. He said if they were to write everything, the books will not take it. Huh? He told them, he said, you will speak with new tongues. So when he told them to wait, they knew exactly what they were waiting for. They knew that when the Holy Spirit had come, they would be able to cast out devils. They would speak with new tongues. They knew all the things they would do once the Holy Spirit came. And that belongs also to you. The reason why it belongs to you, I will show you later, why you cannot even do without the Holy Spirit upon you. It's a struggle. Christian life becomes what? A struggle. Hallelujah. Your believing God should not just be a matter of faith. Your faith should produce experience. Now, remember, you need to believe. But real faith will produce results. Hallelujah. Real faith will what? It produces results. If your faith is not producing results, something is wrong. Hallelujah. You know you have to put the fuel in the car before you can get it to move. Yeah? You can't say, oh, if I see the car moving, then I'll put fuel. Can you say that? So also, you need faith first. Faith is like that fuel. You can't say, oh, God, if you can prove yourself to me, I will believe you. No, you need to believe him. Believe his word. That's fuel in your car. But once the fuel has entered the car, and you start it, and you press that throttle, yeah, it's got to move. If it's not moving, something is wrong with that fuel. Maybe it's... adulterated. maybe you put petrol in a diesel car. Praise the Lord. Please continue. Speaking in tongues. Say speaking in tongues. Open your heart. Say speaking in tongues. Belongs to me. Because I'm a believer. I embrace it. In fact, I don't just embrace it. I need it. I actually need it. Just like I need to cast out devils. At least in my own life, when they show up. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes you may suddenly feel a heavy pain in a part of your body. It's not always physical. It can be physical. Imagine something, your body was perfect. Nothing was wrong with you. Nothing at all. Then suddenly, you feel it. It may not be always what? Physical. Especially when it's sudden. Maybe a devil that showed up. You know, Jesus cast out devils to get people well. So not all cases of sickness are physical. Do you understand? There's some cases that we lay hands on the devil. Sometimes he will cast out the deaf and dumb spirit. Praise the Lord. Yeah. That means that person did not need healing. They needed the deaf and dumb spirit. So that pain has come. Now, if all you are doing is praying for God to heal you, you are dealing, it's like you're a doctor, yeah? Something that needs surgery. You cannot deal with medication. Hello, doctor. Are you still there? Something needs to be excised. You are medicating it. Does it work? Hallelujah. So he said, God, heal me, heal me, heal me. If that was the wrong prayer. When you know that moment, you take authority and say, you devil, get out of my body. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I do not permit you here. You know when he goes, you know what he does? He goes and look for another person. Praise the Lord. This is what he means. Say, you cast out devils. Hallelujah. They will speak with new tongues. I need to speak with new tongues because, you know what? If I don't speak with new tongues, how can the grace of the Holy Spirit help me? One of the greatest area of weakness in your life is your prayer life. Romans 8:26 says, you don't know how to pray as you ought to. He said, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Then he gave us one master example. The master of example of your weakness, Romans 8:26, is that you don't know how to pray. Can I just cut it there and just say, without contradiction, just English. He said, we don't know how to pray as we ought. If I remove as we ought, it's still technically correct. He's saying that you don't know how to what? Pray. But the Spirit takes hold with you. Hallelujah. He takes hold with you. Beyond your articulate language. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So your prayer life is empowered. Meaning that you will see more result. Praise the Lord. You need it. Praise the Lord. Please continue the signs.
They shall take up serpents.
They shall take up serpents.
And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
I want to rephrase that for you. Because I will meditate on it. What it means that, if either you pick up or drink any deadly thing. So that's what I'm going to pack it together. A serpent is a deadly thing. It said it shall pick. So if either you pick or you drink a deadly thing, it will not what? Hurt you. You know what I see there? Divine protection. It's a sign that follows believers. But remember, what qualified them to be believers? They believe. When a believer is not living by faith, they will not enter the fullness of everything that God has for them because they stop living their profession. A believer is someone who believes the word of God. He embraces everything and he takes it as his own. Yeah? Things will follow. If I pick up or drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt me. I believe it. You know, you don't need to just believe it. Put the fuel in the car first before trying to move. Amen? I believe it. Hallelujah. I believe it. Hallelujah. If ever somebody is trying to poison me, I will not die. I will live to declare the good works. It's according to how you believe. It's personal. Faith is personal. Hallelujah. To him that believes, all things are what? Imagine there was a big crowd all pressing for Jesus. One woman, maybe she was even little, I don't know, with faith, passed through them all, squeezing through, and touched Jesus and got miracles. And they were all pressing him. Faith is personal. To him that believes, all things are what? And people who believe, they embrace what God has in store. They don't say, I don't need that one. You become wiser than God. I need it. Sister, I need it. I need it all. I want all. Hallelujah. Please continue. They will speak with new tongues. It belongs to me.
And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall
they
recover.
They shall lay hands on the sick. Who? Pastor? No, but Tim. And I tell you something, if you're a father or a mother, you had a perfect experimental lab to practice this one. The day God showed me, I said, oh, praise the Lord. I practiced it. Ever since I had children, I practiced it and it worked. Hallelujah. We just easy, you have to believe. Don't do it, just do it. Believe it. I remember when Kevin was younger and he was showing asthma symptoms. Sister Frida, are you there? Sister Frida, hello. I was calling you, are you there? Remember when Kevin was admitted for asthma? I said, Father, I don't want to waste my time in hospital. I would rather use it praying. Hallelujah. You lay hands on them and say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you this asthma. You are not welcome in this home. You can go to another home. This one? No. Hallelujah. You lay hands. Sister, what's so difficult about laying hands? You know, just to lift it and put. Then believe. 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 Put the fuel in the car before you try to move. Your faith is a fire. Put it there. Believe. Then lay hands. And say, in the name of Jesus, as father, as mother of Jesus, I command you, you do not. Because, look, I'm the legal guardian of these children. I'm the spiritual guardian. I have authority. Praise the Lord. You know why all these signs need to follow you? You need them for your daily life. It's not like signs that will follow you because you want to go and do one crusade and evangelism. No. All the challenges you are facing in your daily life, you need to deal with these issues. So you need all these things. You need to speak in tongues to help your prayer life. Sometimes even when everything is okay with you, if something is okay with you and it's not okay with your sibling, are you going to be happy? Tell me, are you going to be happy? If you have 10 children, your sibling has been married for 10 years and they have no child, are you going to be happy? You need help in your prayer life. That's why you need to speak in tongues. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You need to deal with sickness and disease. That's why you can lay hands. Hallelujah. You need to deal with devils who will try to show up and cause commotion. That's why you can cast them out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, it belongs to me. Because of what Jesus has done, I receive the fullness of the Spirit. Now, what I want to show you, and I'm going to bring it to you, but I need to leave time for prayer. Because today, if you are here, you've never been filled, you'll be filled. It's very simple. Look, let me tell you, it's very simple. The money is in the bank. The money is in the bank. All you need is a signature to the check. And the signature is your faith. You know, if there's no money in the account, you can start worrying. Huh? But the money is there. The moment that signature enters the check, you will bank it. Praise the Lord. It's there, it's provided for. You are not asking God about it, it's given to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to show you one link and then we will finish. No, go to Acts. Acts now. Let's go to another person to read. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 4 to 8. Someone was not read today. From this side now. Acts 1 verse 4 to 8. Yes. Okay. Acts 1 verse 4 to 8. Please follow in your Bible.
And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father.
So they're not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise. Another version says the gift. Yes?
Which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore...
So they were. What were they waiting for? The baptism or the fullness. Look, they already had the Holy Spirit in them. It was the Holy Spirit that got them born again. That's why even if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you still have the Holy Spirit in you. Yeah? As an indwelling presence. But we're talking about infilling power. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit will help you develop character. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. But the infilling power will help you develop power. It's called the gifts of the Spirit. They're not the same. The Holy Spirit in you, as you cooperate with Him, you will develop character. We call it the fruit of the Spirit. But as you get filled with the Spirit, the evidence is power. Power! 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 That power is called ability to effect change. Because I'm not helpless. Anything that comes to me, I'm not just helpless, begging God. I can effect change. Praise the Lord. So He said, you will be baptized. Say, John baptized you in water. That was to fulfill all righteousness. Well, you will be baptized now. What? With the Holy Spirit. Please continue.
Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power.
Can you just stop there? You know what's in that? You are focused on the wrong thing. First and foremost, the Lord was not coming back in their days anyway, as we well know now. Isn't it? That's not the issue here. He said the main, what I'm telling you is that you will be baptized. And what happened about this baptism? Like, when you are baptized, you will receive what? Power. In fact, the reason why I'm telling you not to go and do anything here is that you need power. Now, listen to this. Please finish it. Verse 8. Acts 1:8. Finish it.
But you shall receive power.
You receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then what will happen?
And you shall be witnesses.
Please stop there. Who is a witness? Let's define it. A witness. How do you define a witness?
Someone that can sort of vouch for something because of experience.
Okay, someone who has experience. I like that word, experience. A witness? Any other person? He says, oh, this way, is this a witness? You know? And there was there, but not just that we're there. If you call a witness to court, what are you expecting from them? Testimony or what else? Evidence. Proof. Hallelujah. Let me now tell you something the Holy Spirit showed me. Mark, he said, go into the word and preach the gospel. Anybody can preach. Even an unbeliever can preach. There are people who have been pastors of churches but not born again. Especially Orthodox churches. And they will preach. Huh? But they are not yet born again. In fact, there are some people that while they are preaching in the evening, they go and do occultic practice. Huh? So, going to preach is not the witnessing we are talking about. Amen? The witness is that, and these signs shall follow those who believe. A witness is a proof producer. What are we actually witnessing? We are witnessing the fact that Jesus is alive. You know, I come to preach to you and say, you know, Jesus died, and you know, let's ask me, you never talk, you know, heard about Jesus. Come to your village. All you've heard about all your life is the idols your forefathers worshipped. I'm not thinking about one Jesus, the Son of God, that came and he died on the cross. You never even heard about the cross. And then he rose again and he's back to heaven. You know what I've been saying? Say, what does that mean to me? Is he my forefather? Hallelujah. But as you are preaching that, there was somebody in that village that was a witch doctor who has been threatening you. And you disarmed them totally. What are you now? A witness that Jesus is alive. There was someone in that village that was blind. And you prayed and they got... What are you now? They now believe that this Jesus you're talking about is what? He's alive. You know, you're a proof producer. Yeah, what? What to be a witness means you produce the proof that Jesus is alive. If your life is not powerful, you're not producing proof. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why you're still wishing that Jesus should show up. You say, Lord Jesus, if you cannot show up now, I'll be happy. I know my prayers are answered. When you're a witness, you don't need Jesus to show up. Because your life itself is producing proof. Proof. Every time you lay hands on someone, they got healed. You have produced what? Every time there was a commotion in your life and you rebuked the devil and there was peace and calm, what have you produced? Proof. Praise the Lord. Every time you prayed in tongues and a difficult situation turned around and you even got revelation, what have you produced? Proof. Imagine God give you a revelation and you go and tell someone that you never knew before. Someone in this church and say, This is the problem you are going through, and this is what God said, how you solve it. They do it. It's solved. What is that? Proof. Hallelujah. See, I'm called to be a witness. That's what it means to be a witness. When you receive power, you can be what? A witness. Praise the Lord. We're not called to empty religion. We're called to live the life. Hallelujah. We're called to what? Live the life, both in character and in power. Both in character and in what? But you will not do that without being filled and without being full. Okay? Let's 5 minutes. I want to round up. Let's look at Acts 2:4. Acts 2:4. And then we go into prayer. What I need most for you today is just an open heart to receive and embrace everything that God has for you. Acts 2:4. Actually, let's read verse 1 to 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Yes?
1 to 4.
Yes, please.
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in a place.
Okay, just wait, Mom. Let me just say something. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says that they wait. Jesus told them to wait. Yeah? A few days, and they will get it. Let me tell you, the reason why they had to wait was not because the Holy Spirit needed to be waited for. It was because it was the appointed time that the Holy Spirit will come on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is one of the feasts. Just like Jesus was crucified on the day of Passover, and he rose on the day of first fruits, so also the appointed time for the Holy Spirit to come was the day of Pentecost. That's the only reason. Otherwise they could have been filled even when Jesus, before Jesus was ascending. And they knew the day because they were assembled together in one place. And I tell you, it was not the upper room. Because the Bible did not say it's the upper room. Amen? They were in the temple actually. Because at the feet of Pentecost, every male Jew is expected to appear in the temple. That's why it was easy for them to hear them. Hallelujah. If they were in the upper room, who will hear them? They were assembled together in one place. It was deliberate. It was intentional. They were expecting the Holy Spirit. They were expecting to be filled. And they were expecting to speak in tongues. And they were expecting to be empowered. That's why they were in one place waiting on the day. Say, when the day had fully come. What does it mean, has fully come? They were waiting for it. Hello? When the day had fully come. You know when you say something has fully come, like when your bad day had fully come. You know what I mean? You'll be counting down. Praise the Lord. Please continue.
And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind.
Hallelujah.
And it filled the whole house where they were sitting.
Hallelujah.
Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire.
Amen.
And one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
They were all filled. It's not just one person. And how many? All. Oh, how many were filled?
All.
You know why they all were filled? Because they were all wanted to be filled. You will never be filled with something you don't want to. Except if it's the devil. He will force it down your throat. But not God. Praise the Lord. Continue.
And began to speak.
They began. Who began? God, yeah. The Holy Spirit, or them?
Them. Yeah. And began to speak.
When you speak in tongues, it's you speaking. But it's the Holy Spirit. Continue, please.
And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Mom. So meaning that what the Holy Spirit just does in you is to tumble your tummy. You know, sometimes I'm in a situation that must have happened to some of you here. It must have happened to some of you here, especially if you are filled with the Spirit. You're in a situation. Maybe it's a serious situation, a terrible situation, something. Your innermost being start tumbling. Looking for expression. Amen? That's utterance. And all you're doing is you're giving expression to what is inside. There are believers who have never spoken in tongues, but they've experienced the utterance, the anonymous being. Hallelujah. That's why the greatest speaking in tongues you ever do is the one that comes spontaneously. Your initiation, and you couldn't help it. It just tumbled from inside out. Do you know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. But you speak. You make up your mind that you will speak. Then you will just give in and speak. So what the Holy Spirit wanted to do finds expression. Then it's powerful. You understand? If it doesn't find expression, no power. It must find what? Expression. Hallelujah. The groaning is inside. But it's looking for expression. It belongs to you. Not a difficult thing at all. And what it does for you is that it helps you achieve supernatural results. Something beyond your physical ability. One of the limitations you have in prayer is that you only pray about the things you know about, isn't it? So if there's a situation happening right now somewhere that, and your loved one is there, how will you know if you don't know? How? It's only through the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you something, a preemptive strike against the devil is always better than a reactive strike. So, if something was happening and you have already preempted it in the spirit, and you have prayed about it in the spirit before it ever happened, it's easier to have victory than when it has already happened and you're trying to mend it. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Let's rise up. Let's rise up and just pray and receive. So, it's very simple. This is a matter of believing. If you believe it, it belongs to you. If you don't believe it, manage it where you are. Hallelujah. If the money is in the bank, all you need to do is just receive it and give in. Give in and enter into something better. Hallelujah. What do you notice about all these apostles? From that day, they were different. Peter was hiding before, denying Christ. He steps up and he preached, and 3,000 people gave their lives. The next day, they were walking. Not the very next day, but they were walking and they saw this man. They've been seeing this man. He's at the temple gate. They've seen him 3.5 years. He was there. Maybe even longer. But this day, they were filled. Hallelujah. And they stepped forward. Hallelujah. And they got the miracle done. Hallelujah. It's because they were filled. It's because they were filled. It was because they were filled. Hallelujah. You cannot be filled without yielding. When you yield, you will drink. If you close your mouth, no drinking. Praise the Lord. Let's sing. And as we sing, I want everyone here, open your heart and let the Holy Spirit fill you. You do it by faith. There are four things you need to do to be filled with the Spirit. Ask. The Bible says, if you that are evil, you know how to give your children good things, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Luke 9:13. Secondly, after you ask, you need to believe that you have received. You know why? Because it's promised. When it's promised, you don't need to start going about the bush. Look, when something is promised, it's already there for your taking. So when I ask, I will believe that I receive it. Meaning that the moment I ask God to fill me with the Holy Spirit, to the fullness, to the overflowing, that moment, I believe that I have what? How did I do it? By faith. I have received it. Just like you got born again. How did you get born again? How did Jesus come to live in your heart? You believe that you received it. Hallelujah. Thirdly, you need to yield. Hallelujah. As the Holy Spirit fills you from your innermost being, you yield. Hallelujah. It's like a woman in labor pain. When the pain comes, you yield and you shout. Ask my wife. And finally, you need to speak. All those four things, you are the one to do them, not God. What God will do is to fill you. You are the one to ask. You are the one to believe that you receive. You are the one to yield. And you are the one to what? Speak. Then He will fill you. And then let me tell you something. If you've been filled before, you speak in tongues. Some of us here, you are speaking in tongues. Your life is still not powerful. Huh? You know why? You were filled. You are not staying filled. Huh? Because no matter how much you drink one day, you will use it up. Every day you need to stay filled. You say, that person was filled with the Spirit and they went to do something bad. That day they were not filled with the Spirit. It would be, huh? The day they went to do something bad, it was not the Holy Spirit that was filling them. It probably was a devil that was influencing them. We need to be stay filled. So, for those of you who have spoken to us before, today receive a fresh what? Filling. The same principle. You yield. You ask. You believe that you receive. You yield. And you what? And you speak. Because it already belongs to you. It doesn't get better. Anything that's more than that is of the devil. It's that simple. The things of God are very what? Simple. And just say, anointing fall on me. Begin to ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Willingly, you are ready. Today you are ready. You will speak in tongues today because you are ready for it. You want it. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me.
Anointing fall on me.
The anointing fall.
Anointing
follow me.
Fall on me. Anointing
fall on me,
fall on me.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost while you continue to play, please now ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Ask Him to come upon you right now, not like tomorrow, not like in the night. Right now, as you say, Holy Spirit, come upon me. Fill me! Right now, I receive it by faith. I receive it now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for filling your church today afresh. Thank you for filling us. Yes, the Holy Spirit is here. Hallelujah. He's filling you right now. Hallelujah. He's filling you. Because you know what? He's filling you and you are yielding. Now begin to yield. Begin to yield to the Holy Spirit. Begin to yield to the Holy Spirit. Begin to yield as that turbulence starts from your innermost being. As that groaning starts from your innermost being. From your belly. From your belly. From your belly will flow rivers of living water. From your belly, 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 belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, begin to speak. Begin to speak out. You may be babbling, that's okay. But speak. You may be babbling. Do it by faith. And as you speak, it will fill you more. Do not close your mouth. Open it and begin to speak out the groaning from your innermost being. Don't hold back. Don't deny yourself the power and the presence. Begin to speak. Begin to speak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can sit down. You can sit down. I want to minister specifically to people. Everyone sit down. Let's be down. The Holy Spirit is still working. Hallelujah. He's working. You are here. You've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. That means you've never spoken in tongues. But you want to receive that fullness today by the laying of hands. I'm not going to make much pause. I'm just going to lay hands on you. And the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And you will receive and speak. If you're in that category, just lift up your hands and ever so gently I will come to your seat. I will lay my hands on you. When my hands come upon you, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You will receive. You will be filled. And then you will open your mouth voluntarily and speak out the groaning in your innermost being. You will do it today and this moment because it belongs to you now. If you're in that category, just lift up your hands and I will come and lay hands on you to receive the fullness. Don't be shy. Don't lose your day because this power is what you need for the rest of your life. Some situations in your life will change forever because you receive power. Some situations in your life will change. There are some battles you are fighting. You will not overcome them, you know, without a higher level of power. So you need this power of the Holy Spirit. So put up your hands. I will lay hands on you. You will receive because now we preach the word of God. The power is there. Hallelujah. Let's continue to sing. Anointing, follow me. Want to be filled, you want, you know, the laying of hands, just put up your hands, I'll pray for you. Let's pray in tongues as we finish this service. Just everyone pray in the spirit, pray in tongues. If you have received it, just continue like that. Continue to speak. People who speak in tongues, they are not shy. They are bold. They are bold because it belongs to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Renda criado, recura baratengos plegashira la raja, ronda ronde criado mas tenderija, rueda rostera bajaiza, rueda shada la bajanda, rada la basera, rada basera, rueda bajaiza, rada basera, barra basura, rueda la rosa, barra cosa, rueda brechanda la brata, rosa la bajara bayanda calosa, rueda quiera, rueda basura. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are here. You need healing. Because the anointing is here. By the laying on of hands. You need healing. There's a condition in your body that you know as a matter of urgency. You need healing and deliverance. From. Put up your hands out, lay hands on you ever so softly, ever so simply. Receive healing. In the name of Jesus, receive healing. In the name of Jesus, in every part of your body, let that power flow all over.